this Psalms 34 as we finish it up this morning. A quick background for those of you who weren't here, and just a reminder for those of you who were, David, he wasn't king yet, and he was on the run. He was really running from King Saul, and so he was on the run, David was. And then he encountered another guy by the name of Abimelech, which might have been his name or might have been his title, but he was a king as well. And so David was really outnumbered, and he feared for his life. And so what David did, he said, well, I'll just act like I'm a madman. I'm act like I'm crazy. Act like I maybe need to be, you know, out at Moccasin Bend or somewhere. So he acted as if he was a madman. And so Abimelech said, well, you know, he's no threat to us, no threat to our kingdom. So let him go. And so David got out of that precarious situation. And so David was excited. He was relieved. He was thankful. So much so that the Holy Spirit began to have David write this psalm, Psalms 34. And I could hear David saying, even this morning, Saints, David said in verse 1, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. And if David was here this morning, Love Fellowship, he would say, church, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And David might say, well, why? Why should we do this? David said, well, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. And then in verse 6, David said, this poor man, talking about himself, this poor man, I cried out, and the Lord heard me and saved me from all my troubles. Now, David, that's David's testimony, but you're here this morning, so all of us got the same testimony. We've been in some tough situations before, some trials and some tribulations, some of the stuff that we brought on ourselves, but some of the stuff was just living in life. But we're here this morning because God has delivered us out of our troubles. He's delivered us from all our fears. He's rescued us. He has. Verse 7 even says that the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. And here it is again, saints, and delivers them. Our God is a deliverer. Our God is a deliverer. If you're here this morning, again, you've been delivered from something. You've been delivered or am being delivered from something. Our God is a deliverer. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Then he says, oh, taste and see. Just try him. Just try the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Then David would tell us this morning, saints, in verse 13 and 14, he would tell us to keep our tongues from evil and your lips from speaking deceit or telling lies. And then he would tell us to depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Chase after it. That's what David would say this morning, saints. That's Psalms 34 verses 1 through 14. So let's look at verse 15 as we finish this psalm up this morning. Look what the word of God says in verse 15. It says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. It's very explicit. The eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. There's quite a contrast in these two verses. They basically scream out with a question. Do you want God for you or against you? Let me ask that question again. Do you want God for you or against you? It's similar to what Jesus says in John 10 when Jesus said that the thief, meaning the thief has come but to steal, kill and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, a life that's purposeful, a life that's meaningful. So here it is, Jesus said, here it is, like a multiple choice. You want to hang out with the devil? He has stealing, killing and destroying. That's what he has to offer. But Jesus said, I got life and got life that's more abundant, life that's meaningful, that's purposeful. Who would you want to hang out with? Let's see, over here, killing, destroying, and stealing are over here a life that's more meaningful. I think I'll take Jesus, the life that's more meaningful. Am I in the Christian church anymore? I said, I think I'll take Jesus, whose life is more meaningful. So it is right here with verse 15 and 16. it's two choices. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord, the God who created everything, the eyes of our Lord is on the righteous. But, got one thank you. But his face is against those who do evil. So saints, make sure you're in a church, make sure you're in a group called righteous. Let me just camp out right there just for a few moments about this group called righteous, because I don't know about you. I want the Lord's eyes to be upon me. I want his ears to be open to my cry, Sister Roxy. So we want to make sure, you want to make sure you're in this group called righteous. How do you become righteous? How do you become justified? How do you become holy? I'm glad you asked that question. You can only get righteous by coming to God himself. You can only become righteous by surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only become righteous by going by way of the cross. It's only one way to become righteous. And that's coming by way of the cross. It's only one way to become righteous. That's by embracing the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. You got to go by way of the cross. That's the only way you can become righteous. I'm glad Jesus left no wiggle room. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You got to go by way of Christ, the sinless Savior who came down through 40 and two generations. You got to go by way of Christ, the one when he walked the earth. He cleansed the lepers. He cast out demons. He even rose people from the dead. You got to go by way of the cross. Go by way of Christ, the one who died on Calvary's Hill that Friday evening, the one who they buried and then early Sunday morning rose with all power in his hand. That's the only way you or I can become righteous, is by going by way of the cross. It's by going by way of Christ. And this word righteous here, if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. This is where it means, listen to this, it means conforming to the perfect holiness of God. This word righteous, it means conforming to the perfect holiness of God. And there are two aspects of this righteousness that we're talking about this morning. Two aspects. It's conforming to the perfect holiness of God. Two aspects. One is what we call positional righteousness. Positional righteousness. Similar to justification. You know, you've been declared right. Positional righteousness. If you're in Jesus Christ, if you're born again, if you're saved, positionally, you are perfect. Let me say that again. Positionally, you are perfect. You have been declared righteous. Your righteousness before God is perfect if you're in Christ. It's positional righteousness. Then another aspect is practical righteousness. That's our everyday life. That's our everyday life. Now, I should get about 60 or 70 hands going up now. Our perfect right, our practical righteousness, once again, is not perfect. We don't live this Christian life out the way we should at times. Let me say that again. We don't live this Christian life out the way we should at times. But listen to this, saints. If positionally we're with Christ, if our righteousness, if we got positional righteousness, our practical righteousness should be improving. We should be, theologians call it progressive sanctification. We should be becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. You and I should be more like Christ in 2020 than we were in 2019. Definitely in 2018 or in 2017 or whenever you first got saved. If you're in Christ, if you have positional righteousness, if you have been declared righteous by God himself, by Jesus himself, your lifestyle, my lifestyle, should begin to resemble more and more what I've been called to be. Y'all with me this morning? So just because as a Christian, positionally, I'm made right with God and I have positional righteousness, it's as if I have never really even sinned judicially. That doesn't mean I can just go out and live any kind of old way. That means I should have a desire, and you will have a desire to live holy. You will have a desire to chase after Christ. Y'all with me this morning? Positional righteousness. Practical righteousness. Listen, there are benefits to being called the righteous. There are benefits. One of the benefits is right there in verse 15. Look at your Bible. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, the Christian, the born-again believer. God's eyes are on you. And not only that, saints, his ears are open to our cry. That's why, as I said a few minutes ago, when we had altar call, we don't just, you know, throw prayer in on corporate work just to throw it in. Or I hope you don't just pray just to be praying. I mean, God hears our prayers. Let me say that one more time. God hears our prayers. The God of the universe, the God who has all power, the God who knows all things, the God who is in control of all, who's sovereignly in control of all things. He hears my little old prayers. He hears your little old prayers. He hears the prayers of the righteous. That's a blessing. That ought to send you home kind of excited right there. That God hears my prayers. That God hears my prayers. The contrast to that, though, is in verse 16. God hears the prayers of the righteous, those who belong to him, but his face is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So really, if you're not born again, if you're unrighteous, God's face is against you. That's why, in a sense, we need to really even pray for the evildoers. Pray for those who come against you. You need to pray that they might repent. You shouldn't be praying, say, God, get them. Get them, God. Now, you and I should be praying, Lord, that they might repent. You know, they might turn to you. Because, look, if they die against the Lord, they die in their evilness, guess what? The Bible says they're going to be cut off from the earth and basically going to end up in hell. So those two verses gives us a picture of the whole world, really. It gives us a picture of those who are following Christ, called righteous, Sister Ingram, and versus those who are not following Christ, called the unrighteous. God's eye is on those who are following him. His ears are open to their cry. And those who are not, his ears are not open to their cry. The only prayer he is listening and waiting for them to say is for, God, I am a sinner in need of a savior. I'm glad when I was on that wrong road back some years ago, I cried out to God as a sinner, as an unsaved person. I said, God, save me. God, change me. And guess what? He heard my cry. Now, I could have been praying all kinds of other prayers. God, give me a job. God, do this. God said, I ain't hearing none of that. I ain't hearing none of that. Sister Lawson, hey, God, I ain't hearing none of that stuff. So only until I said, God, save me, change me, that God heard me. Look at verse 17, saints. It says the righteous, again, see why I spent a little extra time on righteous earlier. You want to make sure you're in that group called the righteous. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. It's amazing when you're reading the Word of God, when you're studying the Word of God, and God kind of keeps repeating himself. It's not, of course, like he has amnesia. He doesn't. He knows all things. He forgets nothing. You and I need to be reminded. You and I have amnesia, and saints, it's not hard to spot in this psalm. Those of you that have been with us these last 3 weeks, God keeps over and over mentioning, just like verse 17, like in verse 4, he says, the psalmist said, I sought the Lord, and the Lord heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And then in verse 6, he said, this poor man cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And then verse 17, here it is. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. It's a reoccurring theme. You want to write it down. If you hadn't written it down, y'all, you at least want to sear it in your mind. God sees us, God hears us, and God delivers us. God sees us, God hears us, and God delivers us. That's good news for the born-again believer. God sees us, God hears us, and God delivers us. That's reassuring to know that God's eye is on you and on me. I feel like the psalmist over in Psalms 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, I'm just a little old person here on planet, but God is still mindful of his people. God watches over his people. His eyes are upon them and his ears are open to their cry. We ought to just take about a 20-second praise break and thank God for his eye being upon us and his ears being open to our cries. God watches over his people. See, he watches over his people. I'm going to give a few examples here in verse 19, but on verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as those who have a contrite spirit. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted. The Lord is near to those who are lowly and repentant. The Lord is near to those who have a contrite heart, as the verse just said. A contrite basis is another way to say repentant. God is near to those. God saves those who cry out to him with a broken and a contrite heart. God is near to those who are devastated by the trials of life. God is near to those who are weighed down by the circumstances of life. So you know, you as a follower of Christ, you might even be wondering, where God is in certain tough situations. Like maybe you might have gone to the doctor for that annual checkup or something, and then the doctor said, well, we see a spot here on your lungs. We don't really know what this is, and the report may not be that good. You might say, where is God? Guess what? God is nearer to you then than ever before. I said, God is nearer to you then than ever before. You might be going through a financial challenge, something going on. As they say, your money is funny and your change is strange. But guess what? God is still near to those. He can be Jehovah Jireh, your provider. You might have something going on in your family, either with your marriage or with your kids or maybe even with your parents. But guess what? God is near to you in those situations. Maybe something going on your job, some kind of tough, trying situation on your job. You say, where is God? Where are you? This boss just acting a fool on my job. Where are you? God is nearer to you then than ever before. God is near to those who are weighed down. He's near to those who have a broken heart. He's near. He saved those who have a contrite spirit. God is never far away from his people. So God is never far away from his people. So there are many, again, advantages of being the righteous. There are many advantages. God hears our prayers. We're on our way to heaven. But look, verse 19 says something. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on verse 19. Verse 19 says, many, somebody say many. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I remember when I first read this years ago, I was like, wait a minute, Lord, am I reading that right? Shouldn't that say many are the afflictions of the unrighteous? Shouldn't that say many are the afflictions of those who just act a fool and don't even acknowledge who you are? But many are the afflictions of the righteous? The Lord said, yeah, you're reading it right. You're reading that correctly. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But saints, when we read our Bibles, aren't you glad we don't just have to read just one little segment or one little verse? We need to read the whole chapter, the whole book, and all 66 books. Aren't you glad we don't have to just stop right in the middle? He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I like this next conjunction that's about to come up. I love this conjunction coming up. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are the afflictions, but the Lord delivers her out of them all. Deliverance from affliction. Afflicted but delivered. That sounds kind of contradictory, right? But afflicted but yet delivered. One writer describes it this way. He describes it as a side-by-side, you might want to jot this down, the side-by-side realities of human persecution and divine preservation. Let me say that again. This writer said it's kind of like the side-by-side realities of human persecution and divine preservation. In other words, you're going through some stuff, but God is keeping you. You and I are going through some stuff, but God is keeping you. What's that old saying? I'm glad I don't look like all I've been through. You and I are going through some things, but God keeps us. Jesus said it this way. The psalmist said, many are the afflictions, many adversities, one translation says, many adversities, much trouble for the righteous. Jesus says this way. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. He said, you will have trouble in this world. He said, but take courage. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. So Jesus said, just track with me. Just walk with me. I'll teach you how to make it through these trials and these tribulations, for I've overcome the world. So the psalmist said there are benefits to living righteously. The Bible says there are benefits to living righteously. But also, saints, there are some perils. There are some obstacles. There are some trials. I can't just preach half the Bible. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Is that what your Bible says? If your Bible doesn't say that, yeah, you got my permission. You can throw that Bible away. Throw it, I don't know what translation that is. You can throw that one away. But many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers her out of them all. So you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials and tribulations in this Christian walk. It's not a bed of roses. It's not like what the prosperity preacher would have you to believe. Once you get saved, everything will be perfect. No, once you get saved here on planet Earth, then stuff started happening that didn't happen to you before. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Listen to Job. Job would tell you, many are the afflictions of the righteous. God himself was bragging on Job. We know that biblical account. God himself was bragging on Job to the devil, saying, look at my boy Job. He's righteous. He's upright. He got it going on. But yet God allowed him, for God's own purposes and ultimately for Job's good, God allowed him to go through some afflictions. Job lost everything that he owned. He went from being the richest man in the world to being, the poorest man in the world materially. Then Job still praised the Lord though. Then of course Job lost all his health and Job had it rough. Job wasn't perfect, but he was a holy man, a righteous man. But if you read the whole story of Job, at the end of the story, God gave Job double for his trouble. He got twice as much stuff as he had in the beginning. So Job would say, yeah, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, our Lord, rescues us, delivers us out of them all. Job even said one time in the book, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. Joseph would tell you that many are the afflictions of the righteous. I mean, Joseph wasn't a perfect young man. He was a little prideful a little bit, but he loved the Lord and God gave him a building that had these dreams. Y'all know the story of Joseph, and he was telling the dreams to his brothers and all them, and his brothers got jealous of Joseph because how his father kind of, favored him over the other sons, and Joseph was sold into slavery, taken down to Egypt. And I think Joseph would say that's an affliction. To be sold into slavery. Joseph would say that's an affliction. And he sold into slavery, but yet God was still with him. Let me say that again. He was sold into slavery, but y'all working to preach it hard this morning. He was sold into slavery, but God was still with him. See, saints, just because you go through tough times, just because I go through tough times doesn't mean God is not still with me. God was still with him. And he went to Potiphar's house and God was with Joseph. And Joseph rose up to pretty much running everything in Potiphar's house. And y'all know what happened next. Miss Potiphar, the Bible said Joseph was handsome. And so Miss Potiphar, she loved her some Joseph. I guess she saw Joseph as like, Billy Dee Williams or Denzel Washington or who's some of the newer names? I'm kind of old school. Yeah, everybody's scared to say something about it. Michael B. Jordan, that's right. Yeah. Denzel Washington, Michael B. Jordan, Billy Dee Williams. She loved Joseph. She lusted after Joseph. Read it sometime. And basically threw herself on Joseph. Joseph kept his integrity, so I'm not going to engage in sexual sin, and ran away, and she got mad and told her husband, and watch this, I'm talking about many of the afflictions of the righteous. Joseph ends up in prison for a crime he did not commit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God worked that thing out. I said, God worked that thing out. And Joseph was in prison for a while, but he eventually rose Joseph up in prison. Then next thing you know, the Pharaoh started having these dreams, and Joseph had been in prison, and eventually they brought Joseph out of prison, and Joseph interpreted dreams. And next thing you know, Joseph went from the pit to Potiphar's house to prison to the palace. He was like vice president of Egypt. I'm just saying, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. I'll just give you some examples of how verse 19 says, many are the afflictions. I could probably take the mic and go around the congregation this morning. You got your own story. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him. That's the good news. That's a shout. The Lord delivers him out of them all. I can't tell you when he's going to deliver you. I can't tell you, but it has an expiration date. It might be after he take you on to glory, but it has an expiration date. This too shall pass. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Jeremiah, of all the prophets, he had a rough time. You know, you read the book of Jeremiah, it seems as though, as best we can see and look, like he preached the word of God, he preached to God's people, and it looked like he didn't get one convert through his ministry. And Jeremiah had a rough time. He would tell you that many are the afflictions of the righteous. This is a man called by God. Matter of fact, God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I made you just for this purpose. You are my man to go and proclaim what thus said the Lord. And in Jeremiah's ministry, he had such a rough time. One time they called Jeremiah, poor Jeremiah. They put him down like in a cistern, like in a well. Put him down in a well. Another time they got him and put him in the lock. They put the handcuffs on him. Another time they got Jeremiah and they took the scriptures from him, the Bible said, and burned them up. And God said, just go write it again. Do what I tell you, write them out again. Jeremiah got so mad, talking about many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the right. Jeremiah got so mad that he said, I'm going to quit all this preaching stuff. He said, God, they don't want to hear about you. They don't want to hear what I got to say. So I'm going to quit. And the Bible said, Jeremiah sat down. He's going to quit, or many are the afflictions of the righteous. Jeremiah sat down, said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. But he said, wait a minute. He sat down for a while. Then he says, it's just like fire shut up in my bone. I got to tell somebody about what thus says the Lord. I can't quit. So saints, don't you quit. Don't you quit. And Jeremiah said, plus I'm seeing some new stuff now. I'm waking up in the morning. I'm washing my face. I'm brushing my teeth. Wait a minute. I'm seeing some new stuff over in Lamentations 3. He said, wait a minute. I see some new stuff. I see new mercies. Yesterday was rough. Saturday was rough. Friday was rough. But now I got some new mercies. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm going to keep on serving you, Lord. I'm going to keep on serving you because I got some new mercies each and every day. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. If I call Paul up here this morning, Apostle Paul, he was shipwrecked, beaten, forsaken. One time he kind of was basically in prison, and he said, Lord, he said, none stood with me. He said, oh, but the Lord stood with me. He said, the rest of the boys, they ran off, but the Lord stood with me. Paul would tell you that he prayed 3 times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. We don't really know what that was, but it was causing him rough problem, whatever it was. He prayed 3 times. God said, I'm not going to remove it. But God said, my grace is sufficient. So thank God for sufficient grace. Thank God for saving grace. Thank God that even though many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivers us out of them all. Oh, I can't let that verse go. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Afflicted, but yet delivered. Afflicted, but yet delivered. Mighty, our mighty God. He's a mighty deliverer. Again, I could take this microphone and go around the congregation this morning. I'm sure you got your own stories of how you were or how you are being afflicted. But the Lord strong and mighty. He's the one who delivers us. He's the one who allows us to sustain whatever trial we're dealing with. Some of us deal with stuff all our life, but guess what? God gives us the grace to deal with it. Oh, y'all not hearing me. God gives us, I can't tell you God gonna take you out of every storm. Sometimes he leads you in the storm, but I will tell you, he gives you the grace that you can endure the storm. Many are the afflictions of the, in 2020, I wish I could tell you something a little different this year, church, but in 2020, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I'm not just crazy about adversity or afflictions or trouble, but I'm glad that when adversity come, when problems come, when trouble come, that I got a God who can deliver me out of it. And let's be honest, church. Let's be honest. Sometimes some of the adversities and problems we brought on ourselves. Oh, y'all gonna get quiet on me now. Some of this stuff we bring on ourselves. But a lot of it, those things, we just live in a fallen world. Stuff just gonna happen. I said, stuff just gonna happen. Just because you and I following the Lord, just because you wanna follow the Lord, stuff still gonna happen. But be encouraged that many are the afflictions, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I'm almost in my seat. Verse 20, it's amazing. The word of God. I want to give you a couple more verses on these afflictions. A couple more verses. Because you got to hang with Jesus. I mean, you got to hang with him because these afflictions are going to come, but he teaches us how to overcome these afflictions. I mean, Jesus himself was afflicted. He was mocked. He was beaten. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Hung him on Calvary's cross that Friday evening. You might be in your Friday evening, but Sunday morning, hang on in there. Sunday morning is coming. Resurrection time is coming. They hung him on that cross that Friday evening. And I don't ever get tired of reading this or saying it. They hung him on the cross that Friday evening. He died that Friday evening. That's affliction with your sins and my sins on him. He died that Friday evening. But that's not how the story ends. That's not how the story ends, because 3 days later, he rose again with all power in his hands. He got up with resurrection power. So, you know, your resurrection time is coming. You know, so whatever affliction, whatever adversity, whatever trouble you're dealing with, just know that God can and God will give you the strength to deal with that situation. Sometimes he takes the situation away. But sometimes he might not take the situation away, but he gives you the grace. He gives you the strength. He gives you the mercy to deal with that situation. I say he gives you the grace and mercy, Sister Toya, to deal with those situations, to deal with those, Brother Rucker, whatever it might be. Listen to 2 Corinthians. There are many passages that allude to this, and I'm going to move on after this. But 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, it's on the screen. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. I'm going to actually read 10 as well, but 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, it's on the screen. So we are hard pressed, talking about the people of God, on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. This is people of God, and it's us, the Christians, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Oh, y'all not hearing it. God got us. God got us. Then verse 10 even says, it's not on the screen, but verse 10 says, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. You know, when we go through trials and tribulations, we looking a lot like Jesus when we going through trials for righteousness' sake. Anybody with me this morning? You and I are looking more like Christ when we going through stuff for righteousness' sake. Listen to 1 Peter 5:10 says this. But may the God, it's on the screen, but may the God of all grace, somebody say the God of all grace. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. After you have suffered a while, look at what he's doing. He will perfect you, he will establish you, he will strengthen you and settle you. And to him be the glory. To him be the glory. To him be the glory. And the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So saints, we go through stuff. In 2020, you're going to go through some stuff. I'm going to go through some stuff. This church, we're going to go through some stuff. But God, he's establishing us. He's settling us. He's confirming us. He's strengthening us as we go through these things, as we lean on him. Amen. All right, back to Psalms 34:19. Again, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Then in verse 20, this awesome psalm makes a little jump on us. Verse 20 says, he guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. We don't have time to turn there, write it down, read it later. But this is referring to Jesus Christ. John 19 talks about Christ. All the gospels, of course, talk about Christ on the cross, but John 19, typically what the Roman soldiers would do when they crucified someone, they would typically break their legs to, ensure that, hey, are they dead or not? Well, let's just break their legs. If they don't holler out, they dead. But you all know with Jesus, they didn't break his legs. I said, with Jesus, they just pierced him in the side, right? They just pierced him in the side. And so John 19:36 says, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Here's the scripture we just read in Psalms 34, that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. Now see, that was written hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ even came. It's good to know that we have what we call internal evidence in the Bible. The true things were written down, like he would be born of a virgin and where he would be born. Things were written down years and years and years before the Messiah came, and yet Christ came and perfectly fulfilled everything. You can trust the Word of God. I said, you can trust the Word of God. So in 2020, make sure you're reading in the Word of God and applying it to your life, because you can trust the Word of God. So verse 20, none of his bones will be broken. That's most people agree that's referring to Christ. But then verse 21 and 22 gives us these two options, just like 15 and 16 did, about the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, but his face are against those who do evil. Look at verse 21 and 22, saints. Evil shall slay the wicked. And those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. This condemnation is hell, is pointing more toward hell. They shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So again, saints, those two verses, it gives us the option. It says, look, those who hate righteousness, those who are doing their own thing, those who just living however, this is my life. I live it however I want to live it. This is my thing. Verse 21 says that they're going to end up being condemned. But then verse 22 says, the Lord redeems, he buys back, he purchases those who are his servants. And none of those who trust in the Lord shall be condemned. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about condemnation. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You should have been shouting all over this building right there when I said that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, I don't know about your life, but I can make a general guess. But my life, I got some stuff in my past that I should have been condemned about. I got some stuff in my past that really should have just taken me out and really just should have taken me all the way to hell. But because I'm in Christ, by God's grace, because he's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, because I trust in him as my Lord and Savior, I will not be condemned. I don't have to worry about my eternal destination because I'm in Christ. Those who trust, and watch this, if I can trust him for eternal things, and I do, and I pray that you do as well, I'm going to trust him for this little stuff, what's going to happen tomorrow, or what's going to happen next week, or next month, or next year. I'm trusting him for heaven or hell. So if I can trust him for heavenly things, if I can trust him for my eternal destination, I can trust him for all this other stuff. Because he has told me, he's told you, if you put your trust in him, you shall not be condemned. You shall not be condemned. You shall not be condemned. I say, you shall not be condemned. You shall not be condemned. You shall not be condemned. It's like you and I, we went into the court and the case was against us. All of our, you know, all the evidence and everything was against us. I mean, we were condemned. We walked in, everything was against us. Y'all have heard me tell this before. And we had a lawyer and the lawyer was right there and he was defending us. We had a defense attorney and all of a sudden you have a little recess and you know how to do it. And you come back and the judge comes back and your lawyer like, hey, what happened to my lawyer? Where's my defense attorney? I'm condemned. I got a messed up case. I'm guilty. And he's trying to get me off. And he's nowhere to be found. And then finally the person at the judge bench call you up to the judge bench. And I'm just talking about you're no longer under condemnation if you're in Christ. And you come up to the judge bench. You come up to the judge's bench. The person who was y'all not hearing me. The person who was your defense lawyer, the person who was your defense attorney, he's now your judge. He is now your judge. That sounds like a fixed trial to me. My lawyer is also the judge. Matter of fact, my lawyer has died in my place. My lawyer, so he said, case dismissed. Case dismissed. You are free to go. You are no longer condemned. Christ is no longer, Mother Moore, no longer condemned. So put your trust in him. Trust in him. Trust in the one who's not only your defense attorney, but he's also your judge. Trust in him. The Bible says none of those, somebody said none, nobody. I mean, the Lord saves 100% all the time. He doesn't lose one. Matter of fact, you know, if he loses one, he'll leave the 99 to go look for the one. He doesn't leave one. He doesn't lose one at all. The Lord redeems. Y'all know about redemption, right? Redeems us. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. He redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Contrast that again, saints, with verse 21. When the evil and the wicked, they just kind of take each other out, and those who hate the righteous, they shall be condemned. So in 2020, all the more, saints, as I've said through these three sermons, today, trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Trust him for your salvation. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. Trust him to get you through whatever situation you're dealing with. Trust him to get him through your afflictions, which might be many, but he can deliver you from them all. And then, of course, earlier in this psalm, remember, as the psalmist would tell us, taste after the Lord. Pursue him. Magnify his name. Try him. Taste of him and see that he is good, that he is a good God. None of those. Verse 22 again. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. And none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. That not only should make us shout, but when I leave here today, when you leave here today, when we run into people later on today, tomorrow, next week, next month, we can share this gospel, this good news. That if a person rushes to Christ, if a person puts their trust in him as Lord and Savior, we can tell them that, hey, you won't be condemned. You won't go to hell. Your life will change for the better. Eternally and even while you're here on earth. None of those. See, you know, these other little places, they can't say that. The other little religions, they can't say that. But none of those who put their trust in him shall be condemned. Jesus would say it this way. John said it this way in John 1. He said, as many as came to him, to them, Christ gave the right to become children of God. Romans would say it this way. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that to be true. The only reason the person is crying out to God is because God first cried out to them. God first drew them. Trust in the Lord. In 2020, trust in the Lord. In 2020, chase after the Lord. In 2020, pursue the Lord. In 2020, obey the Lord. In 2020, worship the Lord. In 2020, serve the Lord. In 2020, fall in love all the more with our Lord. Because he is the only one even though many are going to be your afflictions and my afflictions, he's the only one that can deliver us out of them all. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for being our mighty deliverer. We are witnesses. We are living testimonies of adversities and difficulties and things that you have either delivered us from or enabled us to endure it. We thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you that you are the one who is with us. You're near to the brokenhearted. You're near to the contrite in spirit. You're near to those who love you. But even though we may be going through tough times, you are with us.